We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Aikman is intercepted by Sam Mills.
Smith is going to go all the way. Panthers win in overtime.
Newton steps up, goes for the end zone. Olsen, touchdown.
For the touchdown by Moore.
And in the foot race, McCaffrey to the end zone.
Keep pounding on three. 1, 2, 3. Keep
pounding. Welcome back to another episode of The Roar, and a very happy new year to all of our listeners. We want to thank you, John and I, for sticking by us. I know it's been a rough season, but we appreciate all of you guys for listening, and we can't wait to continue to do this and try to provide as much Panthers analysis as we can. And as always, I want to introduce my co-host, Mr. John Ellis. John, what's going on?
Hey, happy new year, man. Hope you had a good one and hope it's been good for you so far. Glad to be with you. And I echo your sentiments. It's been a good ride here, 100 plus episodes. And we're here for the long haul, folks. It's not pretty right now, but we're here to break it down for you.
Yeah, I DM'd you after the game. I told you that it was a pretty interesting game. Pretty, I would say, a little predictable towards, especially in that second half, too. Not only just play calling, but just the way the game kind of finished. But to me, I mean, it's the same old with this team. I thought there were some interesting things defensively, but I also think the defensive performance was a little overstated in some respects. I think it could have been much worse. They deserve credit for buckling down in the red zone area. But at the same time, the Saints, this offense, they haven't scored a touchdown in 3 games. So this was their first touchdown in, since I think it was week 14. So again, they deserve a lot of credit. They were the unit that definitely kept them in it, but offensively, I don't know what else to say. I mean, I thought they started out the game really well. I thought their opening script, it was just a mixture of really good balance. You saw fully defined reads for Darnold. He was, on top of it. He made, the throws that he was expected to, and just overall, he played really well to start out. And then that second drive, again, similar situation, good balance. Chuba Hubbard scores a touchdown. They're up 10-3. And then it just went downhill from there. And there were still some moments where I felt like they did a pretty good job in the second quarter. Running the ball, it wasn't great. I just think the Saints, they did such a really good job of stopping the run. I mean, they have such a strong offensive line, and I think the offensive line issues in this game, it's not about any one individual. I just think it's a schematic thing. Like, they're not sliding protections the right way. They're not picking up blitzes. They don't know how to pick up stunts. Like, I thought Brady Christensen had a solid game. I'll be interested to see what PFF scores him at. But yeah, let's get into it with your thoughts, John. I mean, this was, a lazy performance, I would say, in that second half. We'll get into more details about it, but what was your kind of general impressions?
Yeah, I think you nailed it. The opening script was good. I thought Nixon, and I said this during the game, called some good quick read type of options for Sam there in terms of getting the ball out of his hands. He kept it pretty simple. The first drive, you know, 12 plays, 61 yards. That was nice. He got to finish in the red zone. That's unfortunate, but give him credit. They opened up the game strong. And the second drive was even better. I mean, they went, 81 yards, I think it was. They started all the way back at the 19-yard line, and that was a nice time-eating drive, 10 plays, 71 yards. And again, the running game was good early. They did some nice things in terms of gap scheme. They had some pulling blocks there. Good job by Christensen on that touchdown run, getting to the second level on Davis. I thought that was interesting. And I thought Brady, just from first glance, had a pretty solid effort overall against a very good front. But you could just sense, and this is sort of, you know, the identity crisis this offense has. First of all, the offensive line as a unit, I totally agree. It's schematic as much as anything. And I think it's partly due to continuity issues. I know this is like their 12th starting line of the season. I think Matt Millen had said during the broadcast that was a franchise record. That doesn't surprise me because I've watched this team for a long time and I can rarely remember this much rotation. We've seen it before. We talked about it before, you and I, but this is next level bad in terms of just, you know, the situations they've been in. And I give them credit for trying to fight through it, but they also don't scheme things up very well at all. I mean, they just, the slide protections are not there. The backs are not doing a good job in terms of picking up some of these blitzes. And it's just a mess right now. And from there, once you get off your script and once you're off your, you know, your first 15, as they call it sometimes, in the West Coast genre, in terms of scripting your plays out, you're sort of in no man's land with this offense. And Darnold's out there, you know, doing what he can, but he has limitations. His footwork again was bad. I haven't looked at the all 22, so I'm going to reserve a lot of judgment here on some of the downfield stuff, but just initially looking at it, he doesn't look comfortable. And, you know, this is what, year four, year five for this guy coming up. Again, we're just beating a dead horse here. I just don't see you can build an offense around this guy. And I know Matt Rhule disagrees with that. I know the front office might disagree with that, but I just haven't seen it, Billy. So it's disappointing. It was lethargic down the stretch. That last gasp drive was some of the worst football I've ever seen in terms of urgency. Apparently they called a hook and ladder on second and 20. Okay. It's in the defense, you know, I give them credit. Yeah, to your point, they fought hard. They clamped up when they had to. I know late they got gashed on that run and Kamara hit him on the edge for the touchdown, but they had guys missing too. It's hard to complain about their effort. They've been pretty solid all year long. They've been good enough to be a playoff team on defense. It's just offensively, they have no identity. And then again, you know, firing Joe Brady, you want to see some positive momentum after that. And it's been absolutely the opposite.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. So I think you mentioned the first 15, and I think those were the first two drives. And that's, you know, the third drive was, I think, where the game just got away from them offensively. That was the drive where Darnold was strip sacked by PJ Williams. Davenport recovered it. But that next drive was pretty key because, like, the defense holds them to a field goal. It's 10-6. And this, I thought, was a really good play here by the defense. Paulson Adebo, second and six, Carolina 29-yard line. And it was just really great coverage by Adebo. I think Darnold tries to target DJ Moore, and Adebo just makes a really good play. That brings up third down, and third down, Dennis Allen being able to, you know, really show off his arsenal of plays that he can really affect the quarterback. I thought he really did a really good job of just confusing the Panthers' protections and offensive line with stunts and blitzes. And but that play immediately, 94, Demario Davis walked back the center. Cam Jordan yeah, beat Taylor Moten. Jordan ended up with a sack, but it was just a collective failure by the offensive line on that play. And then again, John, I thought the defense, they held their own. And the next drive, Derek Brown gets a sack on third down. They punt the ball away. And then this is the key drive, I think. It's 10-6, okay? And 3:38 to go in the half. Abdullah runs for 15 yards on a good power run scheme. 73 was pulling, and it was a good run. But then, first down, Amir Abdullah runs again, 0 yards. They give it to Hubbard on 2nd and 10, 1 yard. So now you're down to like nearly a 2-minute warning. You're put in 3rd and 9 situation. I think they try to run a tunnel screen to Shai Smith, in which Darnold just throws down because it was going to get blown up. And then they punt the ball away. And the Saints are all the way backed up. And that's when Marquez Callaway just kind of, and this is my issue with the defense, I think, in this game. But offensively, I just want to point that out, that that was just a very critical point in the game. And the conservativeness, it speaks to a lot of things, which I want to get into as well. But the last drive by the Saints, the 2-minute TND half, my biggest issue with the defense, I know you're missing a few corners, but this is not a very talented group of wide receivers for the Saints. Like they just kept running comebacks, hitches, and curls to Callaway, to Deontay Harris. I don't know. I think he changed his name. I'm not sure what his name is now, but they kept running those same comeback routes, and the defense is playing like 8 yards off coverage. So it just made it really easy for Taysom to, he got the protection a number of times and he just threw it to them. And I felt like that 2-minute drive, it encapsulated a lot of the issues of the defense. Cause the next play, he goes 18 yards middle of the field to little Jordan Humphrey. They spiked the ball. They had a third down, another comeback route to Callaway for 15, and they get in field goal range. You get a 41-yard field goal, it's 10-9 at the half. And, fortunately, they get the intentional grounding to start the third quarter, which, probably would have put the game away at that point. And it was a good challenge. I'm not sure what the refs were thinking with that ball placement. But at the same time, it was just very little chunk plays on these comebacks and hitches, and they didn't seem to make any adjustment towards it. Because at some point, I know the run defense had a really good game. At some point, Kamara and Taysom even, they were going to find their chunk yardage, and they did in the fourth quarter. So pass defense-wise, I just would have liked to see a little more adjustment. But again, the offensive performance, I mean, it just they tried to turn it into a field position game with the amount of conservativeness they were doing. And I think that speaks to two things. One, I don't think the offensive philosophy, which is dictated by the head coach, is good enough. Two, I think they know that the quarterback is not good enough either. So that's two things. And, the third quarter drive, they start the ball inside the 10, Hubbard 1 yard, Darnold incomplete, Darnold complete check down for 1 yard. It just kept going back and forth for a little bit. And then finally the Saints get a field goal, go 12-10, then 18-10, and that's pretty much the game. So I think the offensive philosophy that we've been witnessing over the past few weeks since Joe Brady's gotten fired, it's been a reflection not only on the OC but on the head coach and the conservativeness that he wants the team to play with. And I'm just not sure that's a good recipe.
Yeah, you once again nailed it. I mean, we talked last week about Jeff Nixon. I don't put any blame on him. I mean, this is a tough spot for him to be in. He was an OC, a co-OC at Baylor. Spent some time as a running back coach in the NFL, but this is uncharted territory for him. It's a good opportunity, obviously, to get in there and to get some experience. But that's kind of where Carolina is at the tail end of year two, Billy, is just getting guys experience that really aren't up to the challenge. And that's what's so frustrating about where they've come in this, I guess, rebuild, if you want to call it. They Matt 1 week talks about, it's not really a rebuild, this and that. And then he also talks about, Luke Kuechly's not here. James Bradbury is not here. We don't have McCaffrey. There's other guys that have left. And so, there's contradicting elements there in terms of the statements he makes. But the bigger, messaging is one issue. We've covered that. Folks both know by now what a mess that is. But offensively, you're so spot on here. When Joe Brady, I you can't speculate enough about, what happened there. But I think if we get down to the crux of it and kind of read the context clues, I think we understand that Matt Rhule wanted to do something offensively that maybe Joe Brady didn't align with. And that was what we saw yesterday, dumbing it down. You know, John Fox did this. I made this. I go back to Fox a lot. I know people get tired of it, but Fox did this in his first year. I mean, this was year one after 1-15. And he had to do that to a degree because they had limitations. They had Rodney Pete at quarterback, and he was on his last leg. And they, you know, had Lamar Smith at running back, and he wasn't great. They did have two good receivers in a sort of a way Carolina does now. But they had limitations, and they tailored everything around that. It actually worked down the stretch because they did some things competently in the passing game that, you know, complemented their run attack, and it did work. And they played good defense, and it's sort of the same way Carolina is doing now. So there's some parallels there. But in terms of the timeline here, this is the end of year two. And it's frustrating that you're at a point where you're tailoring everything around your limitations. And that's, I just, you know, Matt can talk about all day long wanting to be a run team, wanting to pound the ball, wanting to be tough physically, you know, tough mentally, all that stuff. That's great. Is that something you can sell to a college program? I'm sure. And that's what he was at Baylor. That's what he was all about. You know, I heard a podcast this week with one of his former wide receivers talking about the shift from the Art Briles to Jim Grobe to Matt Rhule and how the offensive philosophy went run heavy. You know, pro style. And that's just what Matt is. He's going to, Billy, as long as he's here, and I hope people understand this, this is what concerns me about the current trajectory. The wins and losses, it sucks. You want to win games. I'm not worried about draft position. You want to just get a win at this point to get some positive trajectory going here. But I don't trust Matt's philosophy. And I don't know if I trust his ability to bring people in and allow them the freedom to operate. And that leads me back to the point we made last week. If he comes back, which all indications lead me to believe that he probably will, what's the plan on offense? And who's going to come, you know, take Sam Darnold on head on? Because he doesn't have a very good track record. I mean, again, he's a veteran here, Billy. This is not a rookie. He's being coddled like a rookie, but he's not. Who's going to take this offense on? And I really do think you could see very realistically Jeff Nixon right back in that seat next year, which is, you know, again, good for Nixon if that happens. But that's just you're strategically selling yourself short if you do that. And, you know, to your point about, you know, New Orleans, yeah, what they were doing wasn't, you know, groundbreaking, but they were at least pushing the ball. They were at least playing with some sense of tempo and aggression in terms of the passing game. And Carolina, you know, goddamn, Billy, at last drive. I mean, let's if I'm looking at the stat sheet right, 10 plays, 8 net yards, and the drive was 3.5 minutes. That's terrible.
No, it certainly is. And I think it seems like the execution of when they need to make adjustments on offense, it's just simply not there. Like, let's go back to that before the end of the half, that 3rd-and-9 that they were setting up the tunnel screen to Shai Smith. If you look at a pre-snap, and I don't have the all 22 either, but pre-snap, the Saints already have 3 defenders to that side. So it's not, I'm not sure why they're even calling it. And then on the other side, it was a 3-by-1 formation. Other side was 84. Not Manhurts. I know he hasn't played for us anymore, but who's 84 for Carolina? I don't even know.
That's Steven Sullivan. He's a new arrival.
Oh, got it. Yeah, the LSU guy. Sorry about that. Yeah, he was attached, you know, isolated on the right side. He was running just like a vertical go route, 9 route. But the alignment by the defense did not dictate throwing a tunnel screen in that situation. So right. I know people were trying to blame Darnold for it. I don't necessarily blame at all. I just think like the play calling, and again, like I don't think Nixon is ready to be in this position. And so I think it's fair for you and I to criticize a head coach, but it's also fair for us to realize that I just think the offensive coordinator is way in over his head. And I know that you posted or tweeted out that chart looking at, I think of Ted Atchley posted it, something about Joe Brady's, how they performed under Brady versus Jeff Nixon. And yeah. I mean, it's quite striking.
It's terrible. The turnovers are a big thing too. I mean, you know, this is what Matt talks about, you know, wanting to be secure with the ball and win the turnover battle. And they're consistently bad at that tunnel screenplay. Let me get into that a little bit. You know,
yeah, again, please do.
without looking at the tape, I put some heat on Sam on that. And I trust your analysis too. I think maybe the bigger issue with that, we can talk quarterback all day long, and I get that it probably wasn't his best moment in terms of quarterbacking, but here's the bigger problem I have with it. They burn a timeout. They're on the sidelines. Matt's chopping it up with Sam. You know, Cam comes over. They're all laughing.
Yeah, I heard. I noticed Cam was laughing too.
Yeah, I mean, they're all, yeah, fine. Everybody's getting paid. It's great. Okay, fine. Good. They're all doing their thing. But they break the huddle with 9 seconds out of a timeout. And so it's all predetermined, Billy. That's a predetermined play. Otherwise, the tempo is off. So they're breaking the huddle. Sam has no time to really diagnose anything pre-snap. And everything just looked rushed and discombobulated. Now, the end was coming in, crashing back on the tunnel there, and it probably would have gotten blown up. But, you know, Sam, once again, you know, it's just a matter of putting your quarterback who has deficiencies in a good position there. And again, you burn a timeout, you have time to draw up something on a third and, you know, long, and that's what you come up with. And that's, again, just speaks to the strategic incompetence comparative to like a Dennis Allen, who I'm look, by the way, Dennis Allen has been doing this for a minute, Billy. I mean, we can remember 2017, that playoff game. Allen brought the same kind of pressures late in that game, the delayed blitz stuff that put Cam Newton in a blender. And that's the same stuff you get with Dennis Allen. And he's going to be on top of things. So again, tempo, urgency, where is it? You're going to burn a timeout. We know that. That's just part of what you do. But if you're going to do that, have a constructive conversation on the sideline, get the play in, get out of the huddle with 20 and give yourself time to make adjustments or to at least settle in and get things right. But that's, to me, if he's breaking the huddle with 10 seconds and they snap it right out of a timeout, that's the play. There's no check with me. There's no opportunity to audibilize. I don't know how much freedom Sam has in that regard anyway. It doesn't seem like he has much at all. Whereas Teddy last year was, God, he was the damn offensive coordinator at times out there. So it's a matter of trust. That's where you do miss Bridgewater. I'll say that, you know, his ability to be competent in terms of pre-snap. But yeah, the tempo, the game management, all of it is just so bad right now.
And I think one thing for Nixon, you know, whatever his career ends up being, is that don't be afraid to use the same play multiple times. Like, I think you and I would both agree that the first two drives were very encouraging. Like, you know, to begin the third quarter, why couldn't we just go to those instead of throwing, you know, these run plays that just simply were not working? Like, they were forcing, they're scared of Darnold. I don't think anyone can disagree with that. And so in that situation, just give him plays that work. We don't need to just keep looking for plays, you know, as if we're ordering off a Waffle House menu looking for something new each time. It's fine to order, you know, it's fine to order the all-star breakfast each time you go to Waffle House because it's really good and it works. It fills you up.
Coach has been ordering a few of those, it looks like.
I think that's a pretty good stopping point with the offense. Just my opinion on Darnold again. I don't think he did anything dumb in this game that we would classify as, like, you know, he didn't have one of his like terrible games, like the New England game where.
No, he didn't. But they're so handcuffed. And it's
no, I totally agree. I totally agree. I'm not.
Veteran. It's so frustrating. This isn't. When does this get better for him? It doesn't. This.
Oh no, for sure. Hold, let me just be clear. Let me be.
It's just so damn frustrating.
No, let me be absolutely clear. I certainly agree with you. I'm not trying to say that he's not an issue. He absolutely is. And I think the play calling, the conservativeness stems from the coach's lack of trust, no matter what he's saying in press conferences. Okay. My thing is, this was a pretty competent performance. And the fact that they were not going to what worked on those first two drives later in the game shows the inexperience and the inability of this coaching staff to play to your players' strengths. Okay. Now, let me just be clear. You know, Darnold has had opportunities to come through in moments and they didn't. I mean, I think both situations, 2-minute drives at the end of the half and to end the game, I think more at the end of the game, I just say, well, actually, even then, John, the play calling in that situation was just, again, it was just, what are you trying to accomplish in that situation? You have 48 seconds. You need to get a touchdown, chunk plays, but they're running four verts every single time. And you need protection to hold up in that situation. And you obviously don't have the protection. So you have to find like safety valves. You don't you scheme something up, do some switch releases, do something, you know, some dagger concepts that open up the middle of the field. That's just kind of where I am with the offense. I mean,
that's where you miss Joe Brady. That's where you miss Joe Brady in that situation. I know that, you know, the fourth quarter comebacks and situational football hadn't always been great under Joe Brady, but again, he's dealing with a mountain of mess too here in terms of personnel. I mean, I just think you got to be better situationally than that. On the micro level, I agree with you. You know, there's some things that Sam needs to do better, but you know, on the macro level is what I'm talking about here. And I know you agree with me. I'm not calling you out at all. I'm just saying, and I think you agree with me on this. It's just, they got this guy locked up for next year. And who knows how they maneuver that. Maybe they'll find a way to dump that contract. I don't know what their thinking is right now. But, again, this is my concern when they went into this deal. And I tried to be optimistic and tried to see the development there. I just don't think they're well-equipped enough to, you know, if Adam Gase, who I think is pretty decent offensive mind, couldn't do it, I don't see anybody here that's going to be able to do it. And I just think he's kind of peaked right now. So they are where they are. It sucks. But that's the analysis I have.
All right. Defensively, I thought, just something random off before I get to the defense. I thought Matt Millen was pretty good analyst in that game. I don't know what you thought about him.
I made the point earlier. You know, I grew up on like Matt Millen on Fox and even on.
Used to be what, Dick Stockton and Matt Millen?
Yeah, he was really good and he still is. I know he went through some health issues. I don't know where he is with that, but you know, I thought he was.
Yeah, he's doing games on Big Ten Network, which is a Fox affiliate.
He's very good. Very, very emotional about John Madden. They were very close. I really enjoyed his commentary.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think people kind of give him a bad rap about, you know, his time as the general manager, which fair enough, it happens. It's not like the Lions have been, you know, an exemplary football institution after they fired him anyway. He made some good points on Darnold's footwork and some of his general inaccuracy. He did the same thing with Taysom, so it wasn't necessarily like he was going into biases one way or the other. But defensively, again, they play hard. You gotta give them the credit for that. They did some really interesting things with those stunts. I mean, Derek Brown sack, it was a perfectly executed, you know, YGM came inside and opened up that alley for Derek Brown. I know you have a clip of it as well. But I think that this game in the defense was the issues with the personnel in the secondary. Taysom throws a ridiculous duck and Hartsfield can't come down with the interception. You know, Keith Taylor, I like him. I'm a big fan of him. I didn't feel like the coaches put him in a position to succeed in this game with the amount of off coverage they were asking of him. Taysom didn't really beat you through the air, but he was just taking those dinks and dunks and those checkdowns and, you know, those comeback rounds. They were open each time for Callaway. It was a very fairly pedestrian performance by a unit that definitely played well enough to win, but at the same time, in a game like this, you're really looking for that one game-changing play. The Saints made their game-changing play, stripping Darnold. I was hoping the defense would do the same.
Yeah, I was too. I mean, this has been a part of the problem for this defense is the lack of turnovers, especially over the recent weeks here. They just can't generate the kind of turnovers they need, and that's something, you know, it's asking a lot. I get it. You know, the offense is, you know, consistently punting or turning the ball over. They're on short fields. And I will say this, you know, when they've been put in those situations recently, especially this past week, they did a really good job in shortchange situations of turning things around and, you know, getting the offense off the field. But yeah, I mean, I think as a whole, you know, they did some good things. I thought YGM, we talked about him for the last few weeks, him inside at three technique. They did some,
he's improving. With him.
Yeah, I agree. And he's sort of taking that F.A. Obata role in terms of they can move him around, you know, between edge, three technique. He's very versatile. He's got enough strength to hold up inside, and they do a lot of stunts, ET games with him, and he's been very good at that. That one Derek Brown sack, I think you talked about earlier, he was a big part of opening that up and eating up space for that. So I like what they're doing, but, you know, it's just, you know, they didn't have Hassan Reddick. They're missing some pieces in the secondary. You know, A.J. Bouye is a big loss. Dante Jackson. They were short a couple of safeties in this game. So they came in, you know, rotating a lot of guys. Shaq wasn't really 100%, I don't think. So they started 47 Walker. I'm sorry, Martin, the kid from Green Bay they picked up. And, you know, there were some missed angles there on the run game and the some of the quick passing stuff they did. But overall, it's fine. You know, they're staying competitive. I said this earlier. I think some of the veterans on defense, just people I talked to in the know, Billy, you know, they're what Shaq Thompson said last night in his press conference kind of resonated with me. You know, he was very direct. You know, he didn't say directly, no, they haven't lost the locker room. But, yeah, there's a lot of frustration. They're fighting their asses off, keep pounding, all the things you want to hear from a leader. And I think, you know, guys like Burns are the same way. I think Chin is a good leader back there. It's a bigger conversation we can have about leadership structure with this team. You know, it's interesting. Part of the discussion coming into this new era was who were going to be the guys to carry the torch from like Kuechly and Thomas Davis, Greg Olsen, got Cam Newton, who's now, you know, backing up Sam Darnold, which is amazing. But, you know, who are going to be the guys that are really the core leadership group? And I think you find most of them on defense now. Whereas on offense, you know, you hear a lot of excuses and a lot of coddling. Defense, there's no excuses. Nobody's, you know, saying, you know, yeah, the offense is doing this. We need to do a better job here. They're just like, fuck it. You know, we got to do better. We got to get off the field. This isn't acceptable. And I give them a lot of credit for that on the sort of motivational side. But, yeah, schematically, I think they can do some things better in coverage. They gave up way too much ground in terms of, you know, those comeback routes you talked about. And it was very predictable. And Taysom Hill, of all people, ate him up on it. So it was frustrating. But, yeah, I think overall I have a hard time putting a lot of blame on the defense.
No, I certainly don't want to say that they were the issue or they're a problem. I just want to be fair. I just think there's moments where they could have performed better. Again, this is a Saints, you know, the not score a touchdown the past 3 weeks. And I know they had QB issues against the Dolphins, but even against the Buccaneers, a fairly formidable defense, they had Taysom out there and he wasn't really, you know, lighting them up. I just would have preferred a little bit more aggressiveness on, you know, for, especially from the secondary. You just have to trust your players. And I think one thing, you know, a lot of people, you know, they try to, you know, say we're too negative on the team. I will say, just looking forward to the future here. I mean, they don't really necessarily, in my opinion, I'm not sure they have any blue chip talent first or second year. I think JC Horn probably is the best chance to become a blue chip player from the past two draft classes. But you know, he obviously has to get on the field and stay healthy. But some of the other young contributors, they're really stepping into their own. Obviously, Chin, we know about. But, you know, YGM, again, another good day. And I think two rookies who had a pretty decent day yesterday were Terrace Marshall. He had that really nice reception. And it's just crazy that they don't target him more. And I think that's just a product of the quarterback and coaching as opposed to anything about Marshall. I mean, he's a good player. I still really believe that if you get just competent coaching and a QB, I think he'll really shine. And I thought he had a good game yesterday. And obviously Christensen, he played really well. And we've seen Trumbull do some good things too. So I do think there's some young pieces, foundational pieces, maybe not the blue chip players you're looking for, but so much of it's just about just opportunity and coaching at this stage. And I think their player procurement process has been fine. It's just the other stuff that really need to elevate this team into an area where they can really start competing.
I agree. And just to be clear, I don't think you're, you know, saying that the defense is overly to blame here. That's not it at all. I think I agree with you totally in terms of, you know, there needs to be some accountability in terms of some of the missteps on that side. But yeah, I mean, you know, you look at you talk about procurement. They did do a good job, I think, in the draft the past couple of years, adding some defensive core guys that they can grow with. And that's positive. I think I've had a theory here on in terms of how they're going to reconstruct this roster. And I don't think you can make it to this level. And as critical as I am of Matt Rhule, you know, I give him the benefit of the doubt to know that he at least understands to a degree that this offensive line is completely unsustainable. And I think they kind of knew that coming in. they had to have known it. I mean, with Cam Irving, Pat Elflein, these were guys you're going to talk up in the media, but these are guys, everybody knows they're journeymen and they're just not, you know, top tier guys or even to some degree, you know, consistent guys at that, you know, position respectively. So I've had a theory that, you know, when the cap sort of clears up a little bit and they do have a little bit of room to play with now, you know, with some of the dead money coming off the books, that, you know, sort of the push would be to find some better veteran acquisitions and dump most of their free agent money into the line coming up this season. I have to take a closer look, honestly, and see who's available. But that's even, you know, tenuous at best to think that. I mean, because that's a really strange way to construct a roster. They're just so poorly constructed right now in terms of the trenches offensively. They don't – coming into the season, they weren't there, Billy. I mean, they had Taylor Moten. They got him signed, and that's great. But they other than that, they just – it was always going to be a long haul. And we put a lot of the blame on the quarterback. Whoever's been in there has had to deal with it. I don't think I've seen a worse pass protection unit with this team in 26 and a half years. I just don't think I've seen it, but they got a lot to work on, man.
Yeah. And I think as we close out here, you know, we'll talk about team building and other areas in the off season, but I just think, yeah, there was a report from Ian Rappaport, and I don't know how much to believe him or not. Again, you have to remember Rappaport and the agenda that he has. He's a very good insider, especially when it comes to free agency and just getting news first. But at the same time, he does work for the owners. He is employed by NFL.com. Just want to make that clear. He's not a Jay Glazer or Adam Schefter. So you just have to be careful about whenever you read reports that are coming directly from the mothership. But he did say that he expects Matt Rhule to come back and there could be like some coaching changes. And again, I just think like whenever you tell a coach to make changes on his or her on his side of the ball, or especially like on one side of the ball, at least, which is going to be the offensive side, it's something we've talked about for weeks here, but like which coaches, I mean, I understand it's one franchise out of 32, but which coach wants to come in here and work in a situation where you're going to be forced to win?
Yeah, I agree. They just, they're not well positioned to recruit right now in terms of a lot of areas. And we're going to get into the team building, I know, and all that in the off season, which is, you know, only a week away now, but you know, it's frustrating for that end because, you know, you're trying to give fans some hope here. At least, you know, our job is not to do that. Our job is just to break down the games and talk about our point of view from what we see. But, you know, I always try to give fans a little bit of, you know, positive momentum and hope. And I think there's some good things to build on, especially defensively. But I think offensively they have a real identity crisis right now. And it stems from the top. And I just don't know. Your talent pool you're going to be able to choose from in terms of who calls the plays next year has been whittled down significantly because people around the league talk, Billy, and they start to chirp and people notice things too. It's not just us. I mean, scouts watch these games. Coaches watch these games. They talk to other coaches. And I just think, you know, the comment that once again Matt made about going out of his comfort zone to find a offensive coordinator, he's going to really have to do that now to get things moving in a good direction. And yeah, the whole point of it is, you know, well, let's bring Matt back and let's strip him of power and let's, you know, give somebody else. What are you getting at that point? What's the net return when you bring this guy back and you're just substituting pieces around him? He's still the head coach. He's still going to have his ideas and his philosophy. So what you see right now offensively, I don't think we'll stray too much next year. Hopefully the competency is better in the offensive line. Hopefully Darnold can get back to doing what he was doing early in the year and they can be more efficient. But I think Joe Brady had a heavy hand in that too, and that's gone now. So I'm a little bit out of hope on that side, on the offensive side. Defensively, I think they'll continue to move in a pretty good direction if they come back with this staff. But offensively, I have a lot of questions.
Yep, totally agree with you, John. Anything you want to get off your chest before we close out here?
No, I just want to, you know, again, like we said, thanks to everybody who supports the show. You know, Billy and I have been doing this since, you know, the summer of 2020. This is 106 episodes now. And, you know, Panther fans just, you know, try to keep your chin up. I know it's a tough stretch right now. This is a rough patch for this team. There's not a lot of answers that we can give you right now, but our job is just to break down the minute by minute of what's going on and try to project what maybe will happen. And that's kind of where we're at. So thanks to everybody for hanging in there with us.
Yep. I want to echo those sentiments as well. Again, thank you everyone for joining, and one more week left. We'll be sure to wrap up the end of the season here and keep you posted on if anything changes with this organization. All right. Thank you. And thanks for listening.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.